Today's gospel is the gospel that we always hear on the second Sunday of Lent. And in St. Luke's account, we have a detail that the other gospel writers, Matthew and Mark, do not include. And it's this, that Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah about his exodus, that is, his cross, his exit from the world. And so as we anticipate the reality of Holy Week and Good Friday, here on the second Sunday of Lent, we think not about our Lord's body of humiliation on the cross, but in anticipation of his body of glory in the resurrection. As you know, in January, many of us from our parish were privileged to go to the Holy Land, and one of the places we went to was Mount Tabor, where there is this church. This church is the Church of the Transfiguration, and it is on the top of Mount Tabor. It is an absolutely beautiful building, and on the interior, it's more beautiful still. And so as we were privileged to say Mass in this place, we come to the front of the church and this most glorious asp where there is depicted the transfigured Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about being there and thinking about this reading from the Transfiguration, what was brought to my mind was a passage in 2 Peter, where the apostle, our first pope, refers to what it means for us to consider the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And this is what St. Peter has to say. You will do well to pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So Peter is saying that we are to pay attention to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ because it is for us a lamp that is shining in a dark place. What is the dark place? It's this world. St. Paul, in our reading from Philippians, referred to this dark place in reference to those whose minds are set on earthly things. And so St. Peter wants you and me to know that the transfiguration matters for us today. But you might say, Father, that's well and good for you. You were at Mount Tabor. I've never been there and I might never be there. Or we weren't with Peter, John, and James on the Mount of Transfiguration. So how are we to pay attention to this particular event? And that brought to mind my fourth photo. Those handsome heads that the one with hair belongs to Deacon Troy. The one in the middle is Father Jerome, and then the other guy, well, that happens to be me. And here's the thing that I want to talk to you about today. It is as we understand the Mass as the light shining in the dark place that you and I can pay attention to the Transfiguration. So what I want to do in this homily is I want to show you how our scripture for today finds its expression in the Mass. So St. Luke tells us at the beginning of our reading, now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and they went up the mountain to pray. After 8 days, after these sayings that had been stated 8 days earlier, and what had they been talking about a week before this event? Well, they were at Caesarea Philippi, which is north of Mount Tabor, and there Jesus had asked the apostles, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon, son of John, said, you are the Christ, and Jesus said, absolutely right. And then he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then he begins to talk about his suffering, and Peter says, God forbid it, Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Talk about an intense day. 8 days earlier. And here's the thing, that as they now come to the Mount of Transfiguration, St. Luke wants us to know that what they had been talking about 8 days earlier is still very much on their minds. Now think about that in relation to us. We come here every 7 days, once a week. But each one of us has had the week that has preceded today that has impacted us. And so for some of us, we're here today with a real sense of having been close to the Lord during the last week. Others of us, we're kind of confused and saying, I don't know what Jesus is saying or doing in my life. And each one of us comes here with a genuine desire to meet with Jesus, but because we are fallible human beings, our time in life in this last week has been marked by moments of maybe great conviction and confidence, and other times where our faith wavers and we are confused. But that's not all. We're told in this reading that Jesus led them up a high mountain. When we were at Tabor, we could have walked up to the top, but it would have probably taken us about an hour and a half, and we're lazy North Americans, and so we took taxis to get to the top of Mount Tabor. But once we were there, if this is what you saw from the inside, this is what you see from the outside. This is called the Valley of Megiddo. And in the book of Revelation, it's called the Plain of Armageddon, where the last battle in the history of the world is to take place. Whether that's literal or figurative, that's for another homily. But in January, which is the rainy season in the Holy Land, in Galilee, it is as green can be, and what an appropriate color for this day, as we also think of St. Patrick. But here's the point I'm wanting to make. In the Bible, mountains are always a place where people encounter God. Mountains are a place where people gain perspective. And of course, before we were on the mountain, we were down in the valley. But we couldn't get this perspective of the valley when we were down below. We had to get up high in order to see it. And that is exactly what happens to us when we come to Mass. That we aren't literally coming up a mountain necessarily to get here, although we're having to come up a little bit of a hill. But the point of the Mass is we are to gain a perspective that we cannot have if we just live down in the valley of our daily lives. If we just live in the valley of our daily lives, before we know it, we're going to lose perspective. We're going to lose a purpose and meaning for our lives. But as we come up high, as we meet with Jesus Christ every Sunday at Mass, then we are able to understand, how can I live my life in a dark world like this? Here's just one last picture, which I'll leave up for the rest of the homily, and if you get bored, just look at the picture. So here they are, on top of the mountain. And then St. Luke tells us, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Now in Greek, the word for transfigured is the word metamorphe, from which we get the English word metamorphosis. Now think about this word for a moment. What happens to a tadpole? Well, with its metamorphosis, it becomes a frog. What happens to a caterpillar? It becomes a butterfly. What happens to a seed? It becomes a plant. What happens to a square? It's raised to a cube. What happens to a triangle? It is raised to a pyramid. In other words, in each of the examples I have given, there is an intensification where the lower state is incorporated into the higher state. That's what the word transfiguration means. And that's what happens on this mountain as Jesus is transfigured and the apostles see his glory. The form of Jesus in his humanity is changed now into a higher key. Now think about this in relation to the Mass. In a few minutes' time, we're going to bring forward bread and wine. They are going to be consecrated. The priest is going to allow his voice to be used so that Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood." The lower is transposed into the higher. Regular bread, regular wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. And this is what the Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years. At every Mass, Jesus Christ is transfigured. And we see his glory. But here's the thing about his glory. He humbles himself so that we can approach him in the sacramental presence. And that's the thing about his glory on the Mount of Tabor. The apostles didn't see the full of his glory. If they had, it would have sizzled them up alive. They only saw but a small portion of the glory of Jesus Christ. And then we're told that suddenly two men appeared, Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Now here's the beautiful thing about the Mass, especially on Sunday. We have readings from the Old Testament, from the Law and the Prophets. We sing a psalm because we cannot make sense of Jesus unless we know the Old Testament. But as we see and understand what the Old Testament is teaching, it brings Jesus alive for us in such a way that we get the full perspective as to who he is. And so for us, particularly as Catholic Christians, we understand that the whole Bible matters to us. This is because the Bible is to be read not only as a unity, but everything, always and everywhere, points to Jesus Christ. And then, as all of this is happening, Peter, because he's an enthusiastic kind of guy, has a great idea. Master, let's build three booths, three tabernacles for you. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Won't that be a great idea? And of course, it doesn't happen. Because here's the amazing thing. Jesus didn't want there to be a tabernacle on Mount Tabor. He wanted there to be a tabernacle in every Roman Catholic church around the world. Ours is right over there. And if you open that up, you don't see the Eucharistic presence of Moses in there. You don't see the Eucharistic presence of Elijah in there. You see the Eucharistic presence of Jesus Christ. This is amazing if you allow yourself to be open to the Word of God. Do you see the unity, the purposes of God? Jesus knew that it wasn't Mount Tabor where we had to go to meet him. It's here in the Eucharist, in the Mass, that this happens. And as all of this is occurring, we hear the voice of the Father say from the cloud, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Beloved friends, what we have to do more than anything else in this world is learn to listen to Jesus, to hear his voice. And that's why the Mass matters. And that's why the homily is really, really important. Because this is the place where most people, during the course of the week, are given the clearest opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus. And then, as the passage comes to an end, we're told the following. Peter, John, and James, they saw only Jesus. Now get this. This is exactly what happens in the Mass. Everything has moved from the homily through to the prayers, the creed, the consecration, to that moment when the priest elevates Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." We see only Jesus. At that moment, like Peter, James, and John, we are to adore him. And St. Matthew, in his account of this story, includes something that St. Luke does not. He says, "When the disciples heard the voice, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe." Filled with awe. My beloved friends, we have to grow in having a deepening sense of the awe of God. That when you are here in the presence of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that matters more in your life? Because with this, I conclude my homily. Do you see what Jesus wants? Of course, he wants to be present in the tabernacle. But when you come forward to receive him body, blood, soul, and divinity, he wants you to be a booth. He wants you to be a tabernacle. He wants to be in you so that you are one who is reflecting his glory in the world. And when people understand this, we with St. Paul understand something else. Because in our epistle, St. Paul wrote the following: Jesus will transform the body of our humiliation. That's the body you have right now. This is your body of humiliation. This is my body of humiliation. But he's going to transform this body so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Do you understand what this means? That you will one day have a glorified body. And that the transfiguration wasn't only meant for Jesus Christ, it's meant for you. It's meant for me. It's meant for us. And what will happen on that day? Well, this metamorphosis, where this lower body, I'm a caterpillar right now, is going to be transformed, transposed into a higher body, and I will become a monarch butterfly. Not literally. Don't be going around saying, Bishop, Father Jonathan said he's going to become a butterfly. But the point is that the lower is going to be transposed into the higher. For the square does become a cube. The triangle does become a pyramid. Mortal man becomes immortal man. The Mass is the time and place where the lamp of the transfigured presence of Christ is shining in the dark place of this world. It is my prayer and hope that from today's homily, you will see ever more clearly that the Eucharist is the greatest gift given to you in this world. There is nothing more important in your life, nothing. For in the Mass, we are participating Sunday by Sunday in being on the top of Mount Tabor.